Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I mentioned last week that I spent a few years as a high school English teacher. It was mostly teaching the British literature course to seniors who decided not to take AP. So I was teaching things like Shakespeare and Beowulf, Canterbury Tales, romantic poets like Wordsworth or poems from the Great War. But there was one year that I taught a section, or three sections, of freshman English. And that was more focused on story structure, things like plot or conflict or denouement, if you want to sound smart at cocktail parties. We had a poetry unit. And in the poetry unit, we talked about things like meter or rhyme scheme and figurative language. Now, for those of you who have successfully blocked all memory of your high school English experience from your mind, figurative language is language that's used to paint a picture in your mind. Simile and metaphor are the two most common examples. A simile is a comparison between two things that uses the word like or as, and a metaphor is a comparison that directly connects the things that are being compared. So, for example, a simile in one famous poem is when the speaker says that he wandered lonely as a cloud. And the comparison is between the speaker and a cloud. The idea being that just like a cloud seems to drift almost aimlessly through the sky, the speaker was drifting through a field of daffodils, no particular destination in mind, just enjoying the day, enjoying the moment. Whereas a metaphor would be something like, he's on fire. Or she's my rock. And we know the person isn't literally a rock, but the statement communicates strength or stability, like the solid foundation of stone that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. So why do I bring that up today? Because of the close of today's gospel reading. Jesus is talking to the crowds. He's talking to the crowds about John the Baptist, and he asks the crowds, "What did you go into the wilderness to see?" And then he asks them some questions that are phrased in such a way you know the answer is no. Did you go out there to see a reed shaken by the wind? Of course not. Did you go out there to see a man in soft clothing? Of course not. What then did you go out there to see? You went to see a prophet. And one of the questions this text raises is whether Jesus is using figurative language. And most preachers through the history of the Christian church have said yes. They believe that when Jesus asks whether the people went out into the desert to see a reed swaying in the wind, he's using a metaphor to compare John to a teacher who keeps changing his position, blowing in the cultural wind, so to speak. One minute he's over here, the next minute he's over there. One day he's saying this, the next day he's saying that, and you can't pin down what he actually believes because it moves too much. It changes too much, a figurative swaying in the wind. And they'll say that when Jesus asks the crowds if they went out to see a man dressed in soft clothing, he's using a metaphor comparing John to someone who preaches only that which will earn him money and fine clothing. But of course, John is neither of these things. John is a prophet. More than a prophet, he's the messenger. But the interesting thing is, we don't have to take Jesus' words as figurative. And in fact, in some ways, the overall point Jesus is trying to make makes more sense. It becomes a little clearer if we simply take his words at face value. Here's what I mean. It's obvious that great crowds went into the wilderness to see John. And so also, great crowds come to Albuquerque every October to see balloons. Imagine asking the people in the airport, waiting for their flight home, what did you go into the desert to see? Did you come to see the sage, the cacti? No, you came to see balloons. Did you come to see the latest New Mexico fashion trend? No, you came to see balloons. And you did see balloons, but even more than that, you saw the largest hot air balloon festival in the world. So if you thought you were going to see balloons here just like you see them anywhere else, well, you got more than you bargained for. Jesus' questions are usually interpreted as symbolic, but they can be read literally. What did you go out into the wilderness to see, crowd? Did you go to see the reeds swaying in the wind? Were you there for the scenery? No, you went to hear a preacher. You wanted to hear what John was saying. Did you go out to see someone dressed in soft clothing? Of course not. Soft clothing is for palaces, not the desert. And besides, you knew full well about John's camel clothes. It's part of his reputation. You went out there to see that. Because ultimately, you thought you were going out there to see a prophet. So rather than simply using metaphors to describe what people got wrong about John, perhaps Jesus is acknowledging and maybe even complimenting the crowds for going out into the wilderness for the right reason. You went out into the desert to hear the word. You didn't go for the scenery. You didn't go to see the latest fashion trend. You went to see the prophet. And you were right to do that. John is a prophet. But let me tell you something. You got more than you bargained for. Because John is no ordinary prophet. John is the messenger. The Greek word there is the word for angel, angelos. John is not just a prophet, he's the angelos, the one who prepares the way for the Messiah. That's why John's the greatest born of women, because he was the only prophet who actually saw Jesus. All the other prophets spoke of something that would be fulfilled in the distant future, and they all died long before that future arrived. But John spoke about the present. John didn't encourage people with the promise that God would send the Messiah one day. John challenged people with the message that the Messiah was here and that it was Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. Thus, when it comes to the prophets, there truly is no prophet greater than John, because John knew Jesus by name. He didn't only know the office of Messiah, he knew the Messiah himself. John's greater because John saw what the other prophets didn't. He's also greater because his work is not before the Messiah, but John's work as a prophet is with the Messiah. That's what makes him the messenger. He's the herald who announces the presence of the king. The ringmaster at the circus introduces the next act. There may be teams of people, advanced setup crews, who go out to the venue days before the event to run the cables and to set up the lights and to prepare for the event. They all serve their purpose. The master of ceremonies prepares the crowd more directly. The opening act of the concert prepares the crowd more directly, in the presence of and alongside the main attraction. That's John. John wasn't just the final prophet working days before the Messiah. He was the herald, the angelos working with the Messiah, preparing the way, pointing the people to the Christ. And that's why John was the greatest of the prophets. That's why none born of woman are greater than John. And yet, what does Jesus say next? He says, everyone in this room today is greater than that. Everyone in the kingdom of God is greater than John. If John was greater than the rest of the prophets because he saw what they didn't, we are greater than John for the same reason. We see what John didn't. We see the finished work of the Messiah. We see the cross. We see the resurrection. We see the sending of the Holy Spirit. We see the gift of the sacraments. We see things John never dreamed of. So the question today is, are we blind to the gifts our Lord gives us? To the great things he continues to do among us? Has familiarity clouded our vision? Have we become like a person who lives downwind from the pig farm? Eventually, you smell it so much, you just get used to it. You don't even notice it anymore. Have we become nose blind to the things the prophets longed to see that are being done in our midst every day? We get together in this room like the crowds in John's day, but we're not here to see the reeds swaying in the wind. We're not here for the scenery, inside or outside. Not just here for a view of the mountain or to see the art on the walls, to casually observe the beauty of the ceremonies and the rituals of the liturgy. We're not here to see someone dressed in soft clothing. We're not here to rub shoulders with the influential people of the world, to do some social networking, to stay up to date on the current trends. Now, like the crowd in John's day, we have come to hear the voice of a prophet. Not me, I'm not a prophet, but the words of the prophets and the apostles read from the scriptures, sung to each other, proclaimed for all to hear. The things the prophets longed for, we know, we live, and we experience. And it's good for us to go to the voice of the prophets and the apostles. But like the crowd in John's day, we get more than that. We get more than just a voice. We get Jesus himself. He is here to forgive our sins. He is here to feed us with the food of immortality. He is here to lighten the darkness of our hearts by his glorious visitation. He is here to set his people free. We have that which the prophets longed for. There may have been no prophet greater than John, yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater still. And that's you. That's me. For we have not just the promise of the Christ, we have the Christ. So this third Sunday in Advent, sometimes called the Gaudete Sunday, from the Latin for the word rejoice, today we do rejoice. We rejoice that we get to see the fulfillment. We rejoice that our Lord has come to us, that we get to see what John longed to see. We rejoice that we are our Lord's people, and that he will provide for us, and he will sustain us until the day he comes again. In Jesus' name, amen.